Close your eyes and don't try to hide.
Or a silly spook may sit by your side.
Shrouded in a dark disguise.
They pretend to terrorize.
When the ghosts come out to socialize.
Mail?
Hallelujah, it's rain.
Mail?
Amen.
I'm gonna go out. I'm gonna let myself get absolutely soaking wet. It's rain.
Mail?
Hallelujah, it's rain.
Mail?
Welcome, foolish mortals. You have stumbled into the graveyard and discovered the grim, grinning guys, Walt Disney World. Landing Podcast. We are your ghost hosts this evening. I'm Matt.
Sorry, I'm Derek.
I'm Craig.
Please stay calm. The room is not actually stretching, and go ahead and pull down on those safety bars because we won't be doing that for you. Derek, as usual, the soothing sounds of Craig's voice has welcomed everyone into the graveyard.
Soothing.
Quick question, very guys. Soothing. I've been working really hard. Could you even tell where I voiced over?
I thought it was seamless.
Craig, honestly, yes. But it was still very well done.
Thank you, Derek. I pride myself in my voiceovers.
We just appreciate you taking a trip from your tour with you two to stop and come back and record with us.
I thought he was with 2U.
Don't tell him.
No, does. It's you two? That's the name of the group.
With question mark.
Yeah. I use all the money we take in from Grim Grinning Guys and use for voice lessons. So that's what.
Money well spent.
Yes. Thursday, guys.
Happy Thursday, milestone episode 118.
Good grief. Are we still here?
Why do we?
I guess so.
I still don't get why y'all two sound so surprised every time we say how many we're
40,000 downloads,
wow.
Boys.
Episode 118. It's raining mail.
Hallelujah.
For a third time.
Again.
Again. For a third time.
Hey, and that post man who dropped by a while ago, he was ticked.
He was. He had to bring a whole extra truck out here, didn't he?
I still can't figure out why our listeners keep sending envelopes full of mail.
Y'all can email us. You can send us a Facebook message.
The
post office is already charging us extra. But
our post office box is overflowing.
I mean, it really is raining mail. Craig's wife and kids have left the house. There's really no room left for them.
No, it's sad.
And but we're here to help answer and go through some of this mail and answer some of the questions you, the listeners, have had for us in recent days.
And Derek is going to handwrite everybody back.
Yes. He is.
Thanking them for the mail and answering them.
Mm-hmm. In fact, if you send him your phone number, he'll call and sing to you. He's no Craig.
I'll do like a wake-up call like they do at the resorts.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll say, I'm a boy.
I'm a real boy.
Well, we're going to get right down to it. You, the listeners, have questions, and we have answers for you.
And we also have just some email, just people making responses. I mean, it's not necessarily has to be a question.
Right.
So we will read some of those things as well.
Craig, you want to start us off?
Sure. This is from listener Brian. He said, hey, Grimgen guys, been listening to you and loving your podcast for several months now. Got turned on to you by Josh at EZWDW. I had been searching for a new podcast ever since WDW Today podcast had changed hands. You guys have been great, and I listen every week. We appreciate that, and he had a good idea for a future show and probably even something we could even look at a little bit today. It says that he and his wife took a Disney World trip 6 days. He wrote up a trip report for a couple coworkers to share their thoughts. He did a few things different from anything he's ever done before. It was with no kids. He stayed off-site in an Airbnb, and he used Uber and Lyft exclusively. So he mentioned that, and we'll probably expound on that on a later episode. But I think, do one of you guys use more Lyft and Uber than usual last time?
We used Uber 3 times back in January. Love Uber. Great experience using Uber. Relatively easy to use. And that seems to be something that's catching on more and more with a lot of people, not just at Disney World, but traveling anywhere, really.
I know when we three went, we used it to get from the airport to where we were going. Also used it to get to some rope drops, and yep. made it a lot more efficient, seemed like.
Yep.
We don't use it when we go down typically just because of having to have a car seat.
Right.
It's just, I've tried to get a minivan before, but it's proved difficult for me.
We would like to delve into the Airbnb. None of us have done that before, but that would
I've
be
I've stayed in an Airbnb, not at Disney World.
Right.
I have a question here from Andrew. Andrew's been on the show before. He simply asked, if you were going to rope drop one ride with a three-year-old, what ride would you go to? And he said, any park, if you had, I guess, one morning to rope drop a ride with a three-year-old, what would you rope drop? I said Slinky Dog Dash. It's the newest thing. I think it's a great ride. Starting coaster for a kid. What would you guys say? It is a hectic rope drop. But
it is. Well, I think at 3 years old, they really are pretty close to those height requirements.
Right.
I would take Mine Train.
Okay.
Same height requirement as Slinky Dog, 38 inches, I believe.
Not as intense as Slinky Dog.
I just think that would be a good one for rope dropping, especially if you don't have a fast pass.
I was trying to think of something. I probably agree with you two guys because the other parts, like a Dumbo, don't necessarily have to rope drop. So I was trying to think of something. So I'd probably go with you two guys on what y'all said.
And really, you think of the others, like at Epcot, it's probably going to be Frozen.
Right.
And you don't really have to rope drop that anymore.
Well, and it's hard to go wrong with Country Bear Jamboree.
It's not really. It's not really that hard to go wrong.
I would probably rope drop Tower of Terror with a three-year-old. I mean, that perfect. Would be, yeah.
Perfect, yeah.
You're going to have an early trip.
I think if at Epcot, I'd almost rope drop Character Spot just because you can knock out Joy and Sadness, Baymax, Mickey, Goofy, and Minnie in a matter of 30 minutes or less before the crowds get there.
Yep.
Good question, Andrew. Thank you. Oh, one just fell from the ceiling, Craig. It's still raining in here. Derek, do you have a listener question for us?
No. Yes, I have one. This is from listener Jamie. We have booked a beach vacay in Destin right after the end of school. And the husband has the great idea to go down to Disney for a few days before the beach. So they want to arrive flying Southwest at the end of May. They want to do three-day park tickets with Park Hopper. And we're looking about staying at Bay Lake Towers, maybe doing DVC points. I need advice for this. Is it too complicated? Will it save bunches? Help needed, please.
Talk about DVC points?
Renting DVC, yes.
In conjunction with that, I have one from Principal Jennifer 07, and it says, listening to your guys' show on the way to the beach.
Did you say Jennifer 007?
Dun, 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 Principal dun, Jennifer dun, 07. Dun, 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 is there an episode about Disney rental points? So we've talked a lot about how we're DVC renters. We've talked a lot about renting points.
No, no.
But we haven't gone into great detail about how
Matthew, back up. What did you say we were?
We've talked a lot about how we're DVC renters.
Yes, we are.
I've been looking for the renter's lounge. I'm perusing the Disney website. I can't find
it. I'm trying to delve.
We're not owners. We're renters.
So we've talked a lot about DVC renting, but we haven't really given any specific advice, I don't guess, as to how to. And I know we have several other people have asked us about that. And it's something that I was a little hesitant to do at first. I'd read about it. I'd researched about it. But I still didn't feel like I knew enough about timeshares to really understand. But really, they've made it now. We're a bunch of different websites really make it almost as easy as just booking a hotel room. You don't have to really get into the points. It gives you a hard set figure. Okay, this is what you'll pay for these dates. So you don't have to worry about the points. The challenge can be trying to find availability in a limited window.
And there are different sites that Derek put me onto one that we use now that you can actually see availability before you pay anything.
If you're interested in what some of those sites are, feel free to email us and we can kind of give you more specific direction there. I will say this about renting DVC points. The earlier you can do it, the better. I think you can start doing it, at 11 months out there?
11, and you really, once you get out inside of that seven-month window, it gets increasingly difficult.
Because by that time, all the DVC members have
their windows are open.
Their windows for different resorts have opened. So, yeah, the earlier you can do it, the better.
And probably out of us three, Derek is the master of the DVC renting for us three and has advised Matthew and myself on it and how to do it. Is there anything jumps out at you, Derek, that you would recommend?
Well, just primarily between the companies, I just do a general search of Disney Vacation Club rentals, and that'll bring up numerous companies. Some will charge, some won't. And usually if they charge up front, usually it's around $100, and that gets applied to your invoice. It's just to let them know that you're serious about looking into it. And if they don't find what you're looking for, then they refund that money too. So you're not out that money. But
and most of the time, we're looking at renting studios. Which
yes, we look at studios.
It's just it's important to note they just have one bed and then a pull-out couch, which most of their pull-out couches are quite comfortable. But to give you all some perspective, I know Clint, who was on the show a few weeks ago, they are going in October, and he checked in February several different sites looking for a studio that sleeps five, because some of them have the pull-down bed, and he didn't have any luck finding those. And that's, you know what, 8 months ahead of time, give or take. So the earlier you can plan, the better, especially for the studios.
And usually Beach Club is the quickest one to go, it seems like.
Yeah, that one, Polynesian.
Polynesian.
And it's important to note, too, that studios can sleep, some of them sleep up to five. One bedrooms only sleep four. So one thing Derek and I have talked about recently is perhaps going and splitting the cost, trying to get several people to go and splitting the cost of a two-bedroom villa at a Run Disney event, Craig. That's why we didn't think of you.
Yeah, thanks, guys. sincerely, thank you. We three stayed at Bay Lake Towers on a DVC rental and split the cost. And boy, that was very cost efficient and right next to Magic Kingdom, where we were going to be most of the time. So, I think for me now, it's the choice to go if you can do it, because the money you save. You're paying for where you normally stay in a moderate or a value.
Right. It's essentially the cost of a moderate.
Yep.
And it'll range. Typically, most times when I've been able to get it, it'll range anywhere from about $230 to $270 a night. That's roughly what a moderate's going to cost you anyway.
And it's a lot better because you're where you are, your location.
Yeah, you're still in the deluxe areas.
Right.
And I don't view it as necessarily for the room. The rooms themselves are not that much better than you would find in a moderate. And they're smaller, really, the studios are. But you're getting all the amenities of a deluxe resort. You're getting the proximity to the parks. And that's what I look for in a room.
Right.
And
honestly, I mean, Derek mentions a lot, but really the comfort of the bed is a whole lot better.
Yes, I was reprimanded for that, mentioning it too often.
I've got another... Are you still on that?
No, I was just going to say, if you want more information, seriously, do email us, and we'll try and do some more
DVC type shows here. Chris, our Grim Grinning Gift Guy, asked us to do some reflections on DVC.
Yes,
I think that's good. I like the DVC.
DVC renting.
We can't tell you all of our secrets, but we'll tell you some.
They're not really secrets.
All right, here's one from Brad. He said, love the show. You guys have carved out a great niche in the Disney podcast community, being real fans.
Hey, I got a niche. Can you scratch it?
No. Mm-hmm. Being real fans who aren't connected to travel agency or business. Refreshing after many years of being in the churn of tired Orlando locals repeating the same compliments over and over. Want to drop a quick note and pitch a show idea. Concierge Disney. The pros and cons of staying club level. Ooh. We had talked about that before. We three have not ever stayed at Concierge Disney.
But we do have a listener who just went this past week, K. Ryan Mack, stayed at Wilderness Lodge Club level, and we're going to try our best to get him on the show soon to share his experience about staying at club level. So, yeah, none of us have done club level. Can you rent club level? Can you be a club level renter?
People can only hope.
I don't know.
Yes, I would like to rent from your club level. So we're sorry we don't have any insight on that one. But hey, here's the deal, people. If we don't know something, we're going to tell you.
We don't know, but we will try to find out. Like Matthew said, we'll have K Ryan on, and he can let you know about that. So it's a good question. Appreciate that from Brad.
K Ryan's also going to rip us about our disdain for, or not love of Rock and Roller Coaster. Here's one from Todd. Todd's going down in June, and he asks, how would you advise me, what's the best strategy to get Flight of Passage Fast Pass or Slinky Dog Fast Pass? Any tips or tricks? First time we've been since 2005. Want to make the most of all the new offerings. Thanks, Todd, for that question. Guys, any tips or tricks for securing those fast passes?
I think we need to pass that on to Derek as well, because he's the king of getting the fast passes.
I don't know about that. I'm pretty good at the day of stuff.
You're making Derek sound like he's the only one that knows anything.
Well, I mean, for those two things, the fast pass thing is just Derek and I went down one time before you got there.
That one time.
You remember that, Matthew? We went one time and got there before you did.
Went to a party.
Yeah.
And a morning magic thing. Yeah. You know.
I don't know who you guys are anymore.
but just the refreshing of the fast pass out to get to. Is he asking
but
for
to rope get drop early? To get them early, you need to. Did he tell you how long his trip was?
It was about 5 days, and that kind of goes to what I told him.
Yeah, he needs to try and schedule them for the fourth and fifth day, maybe.
Yep.
On the more difficult ones, and start with those, maybe, is how I would do it. The Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, you're probably going to be able to get it 60 days, mm-hmm. no matter which day you want. But the Flight of Passage and Slinky Dog, you definitely want to do probably. I would probably do Slinky Dog on the fourth day and Flight of Passage on the fifth day. For our April trip, there were still availability at about 40 days for Flight of Passage.
Oh, really?
In the evening.
Well, I think I misheard you then. I would make Slinky Dog the latest as possible. And when you go to book those fast passes.
Well, I did say
okay,
I would do it, but they were in the evening.
When you go to book those fast passes, a lot of people, I think, will start by booking their first day, then their second day, then their third day. Start with the most difficult fast pass to get at 6 a.m. Be on the website at 6 a.m. First thing you're looking for is Slinky Dog. And don't even try to complete that day.
No, just get that one fast pass.
Get that one,
yep.
Then move to day four, and then move to Mine Train, and then Frozen. I think that's probably the priority. So, really, when you get on there at 6 a.m., plan those days as far out from the start of your trip as you can. Just book the one, and then work backwards.
So, he can start at about 60 days, but probably the day before, or 2 days before, he needs to look and see what they have for park hours.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and you definitely want to make sure you know which parks you're going to on what days.
We would recommend, typically, that you avoid your extra magic hours.
Greg, do you have any other listener questions?
Yes, this is from Chris from Pennsylvania. He sent this about a month ago, and he said, you all mentioned considering Uber instead of Disney transportation at times. We've always steered away from rides like Uber and Lyft, and because we have two small children that require car seats. I was curious as to know how Uber drivers handle small children. Do they have car seats? Do you have to request a vehicle with car seats? Is that legal? So on and so forth. That's one question. The second question is, he said, I'm going to make some people mad with this one, though it's often crossed my mind and was spurred during your episode 107. You mentioned spending time and exploring Main Street. I do enjoy Main Street, but wonder if at some point if it's going to become dated and lost. When the park was built nearly 50 years ago, times were different. My grandparents remembered the era of Main Street, as did my parents. I don't exactly remember the time and did not experience it, but I am familiar with the concept. So he's just asking our opinion on that, if we think it'll ever get old. So first question is about Uber and car seats.
I've not used it.
I haven't either, and I believe I answered him and told him that we haven't used it, but the Disney ones, they... I believe all of theirs have at least two cars. Have two cars.
The minivans.
Yes, but Uber, I think you can request one that has a car seat, but I've never done that.
Somebody, listener Tara, asked me this the other day because they're thinking about using theirs to get from the park to the airport because they don't want to worry about the stress of Magical Express. I just kind of Googled it because I've never used it. I think when you request an Uber, you can request a car seat. I think that's an option that they've added to the app. So, again, kind of going back to what we said earlier, Uber has gotten continuously, at least in my experience, gotten more user-friendly. Craig, you and I used it in Boston at nighttime, and even some of them you could request what light you wanted to show up on the windshield. so it was easier to find them. Uber is continuing to make changes, and I think they realize a lot of families, especially in Orlando, want the car seats, and they're making that available.
Do you think that will limit how many Uber drivers will actually you have a choice of, or do you think that's kind
the
of
car seats?
Yeah,
yeah, it will.
I would say they wouldn't be as available. You may have to wait longer.
And would they have two?
That's a good question.
I don't know.
There probably wouldn't be many with two. So
I wouldn't think there'd be any legalities with it, though.
No, I don't think there'd be a legal issue.
As long as you're in the car seat, probably.
Right.
Yeah. Second question is, what about Main Street? Do you think it's a thing one day will be a thing of the past, or what do they do to adapt?
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but this question was inspired by the infamous show To Be or Not To Be, right?
Yes.
Thank you.
Just grin off your face.
Just making sure, because that some people do like that concept.
At least we know that one person made it through.
And that will be the thing of the past as well.
To answer your question, no, Craig. I think Main Street will forever be what it is.
And as Derek said, we answer a lot of these questions. We just want to share them with you. So maybe you have some of the same questions. My answer to him was, I don't ever see it going away because it was a original Walt thing. I mean, it's his Main Street of where he grew up. So I think, if nothing else, it teaches a good history lesson. Right, Matthew?
Yes. And another reason I think it'll stay the same is because, although we didn't necessarily grow up with a Main Street like that, our generation, we've grown accustomed to seeing that when we go to Walt Disney World. And so you have new generations of fans that's what the entrance to Magic Kingdom is. Main Street is a staple to us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the more we take our kids, it will be a staple to them. And I see that almost as something passed down through the generations that is going to remain untouched.
No matter
for the
error
most part.
No, outside the park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we've been lucky just where we're at because we still have that kind of Main Street. We don't have a Main Street, but we have, we call it the square.
Yeah.
It used to be a major commerce central location for our city, and now it's been revitalized some, and it's built around the courthouse. And so we kind of have that feel in our small town, and we appreciate the Main Street for what our square was at one time. I think so too.
I mean, I was there in the 70s, and you know, even to today, it takes me back to that time when I first went. Just walking down Main Street and seeing all that. So I think that's something, as both of you guys alluded to, that those things just don't change. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad. I want this. I know you are surprised at that, but I like that.
You in nostalgia? Our listeners don't know this, but we know this, that Andrew was down there last weekend for his spring break, so he would send us a few texts every once in a while, and he asked me a couple about food. He's asked me a few questions about food while they were down there. He said, what is the best quick service in Epcot if my kid wants mac and cheese? I'm just looking for something good for me, no preference. So what is y'all's answer to that? Quick service in Epcot. What was our rankings?
I think what won the Battle Royale was, in fact, Tangerine Cafe, wasn't it?
I think so. It's not what I recommended to him for.
What'd you recommend
to him? Macaroni and cheese, though. I sent him to Sunshine Season.
So he's looking for specifically macaroni and cheese.
He wanted mac and cheese for his little girl.
Because I would recommend fish and chips. I know macaroni and cheese, but I'm saying for kids, I mean, that would be a good option.
Yeah, I think he wound up hitting some of the food booths afterwards, mm-hmm. but he said that they were going to do Living with the Land, and they just ate there. And he had the lo mein shrimp, and he said it was really good.
I think Beer Garden has macaroni and cheese on the...
I think about all the buffets have mac and cheese of some sort.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say Sunshine Seasons all the way, especially with kids. I think there's just so many options to go with there. You know, you get into World Showcase, I've got a very picky eater, and we usually steer clear of World Showcase for the most part with him.
This is from Adam. We've mentioned this before on the show, but I wanted to mention again, just going back through some of the old emails. I think this was really, really neat. He said, you guys mentioned about your worldwide audience, and I did, in fact, want to tell you that I am from Newcastle in northeast of England, and I enjoy your show and listen to your show regularly. So I think that is...
We appreciate that, Adam. Keeps us going.
I think it's neat to know we got people across the pond that listen to us. So thank you, Adam.
All right, I've got another one from Andrew about food. So we ended up with a rain day, so the plans changed a little. Going to end up at Hollywood Studios for lunch. What's your recommendation?
Huh.
Pretty simple. I mean, something we've talked about before, but quick service at Hollywood Studios.
Does it have to be quick service?
Well, I'll tell you what I told him in a minute after you.
I was immediately
But this is a day of.
I was going to immediately say one that I've never tried. I was going to say 50s Primetime Cafe. I was looking around at the menu at that not too long ago. And
you have not been there?
I've not been there.
Wow.
And I'd like to try it.
It's good.
And it's relatively inexpensive. It's not a whole lot more than what you could get a quick service for. So I think if you could get a last minute reservation,
right,
50s Primetime, I think would be a good one to try.
It's a great experience, too. I mean, there's some sarcasm there. They treat you like you're sitting in their kitchen and eating, so they kind of...
And depending on your child, if you have children,
right,
they may not do well with that.
And they also, adults, that make you clean your plate. You don't get dessert. So it's kind of a fun experience.
But they do allow you to order the peanut butter and jelly shake with your dinner.
That's because they want to sell.
That's right. They still want to upsell everything.
Yes.
What I told him was Woody's Lunchbox has decent sandwiches, but not covered. So, because it was a rainy day. ABC is inside, but terrible food. Backlot Express may be best choice. Good food and mostly covered. And I'd also found him a Hollywood and Vine reservation that day. But he went with Backlot Express, and he had chicken and biscuits. And he said that may be the best thing he's had on property.
Hmm.
Two biscuits, two chicken tenders, gravy, and strawberry jelly.
Did you say you recommended ABC Commissary?
I did not recommend it. I just told him. I told him Woody's Lunchbox was good food, but no covering.
Woody's Lunchbox? Andy's Lunchbox.
Oh, sorry. Andy's. Yes, Andy's Lunchbox.
If only.
So he did.
And let me just say,
he took my recommendations on both of those.
I know a lot of people coming after me in recent days about me liking the Test Track queue. I stand by that.
You're still wrong.
Guys, I think we've stopped the leak there for a little bit.
I tell you what, there's tons of mail left to get to.
Not really.
And really, the Postmaster General, Wilford Brimley, is going to be after us. Give Wilford Brimley a follow on Twitter. He's very active out there and a lot of followers. Anywho, it's time for, we appreciate you. As always, we encourage you to ask us questions and hope that you'll continue to do that. That's the lifeblood of this show. Oh, here's another one, guys. This comes from CatDaddy09. Hey, bros, where do I send a check to y'all if I want to contribute to the show?
Get out of here.
Thanks, CatDaddy.
Get out of here, CatDaddy.
P.O. Box 1. It's time for a segment we like to call...
Grim.
Grinning.
Greatness.
And hello. Today's Grim, Grinning, Greatness question comes to us all the way from Derek. Derek, on a show about questions, what's your question?
I've been helping a local friend of ours with the trip planning. He enjoys Star Wars things,
mm-hmm.
but his family wants to see Fantasmic. So what would you two choose for your Hollywood Studios nighttime entertainment? Star Wars Galactic Spectacular or Fantasmic?
You're up.
And I'm going to tell you what I told him. Fantasmic starts at 8:30. Star Wars is at 9. I told him to go and watch Fantasmic till about 8:50 and leave. And he could watch the end of it on YouTube and go watch Star Wars.
Yikes.
and leave his wife and kids at the Fantasmic, and they could meet up afterwards. Sorry.
Oh, well, that's an interesting answer, dude.
Craig, get in trouble.
What would you say?
I would say, and again, I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I'm not necessarily a Star Wars geek, and I use that with all affectionate purposes. You know, that's just what it's called. Big Star Wars fan, but I would not pass up the end of Fantasmic for Star Wars. That's my favorite part of the whole Fantasmic. So yeah,
it's not quite the same seeing it on YouTube.
But I don't think you can do both. You can't.
Well, I'm going to say I would end with Star Wars Galactic Spectacular. And since you are a Star Wars fan, that 8:30 to 9 period that Fantasmic's going on, I would go ahead and hit Star Wars Launch Bay, meet Chewbacca, Kylo Ren, BB-8, because you can meet all them in that amount of time. And there's really nobody over there. We've done that before with Bruin several years ago. And then I would go find spots for the Star Wars Spectacular. I think Fantasmic, it's great, but if you like Star Wars at all, Fantasmic's such a time, you have to dedicate so much time to getting a seat, staying through the end, the hectic exit, which I've talked about before. So I'm going to try to put more in. And you may even have time for a ride, I don't know, on Tower of Terror somewhere before Star Wars Galactic Spectacular gets started. So mine's kind of a hybrid answer there. Good question, Derek. Moving on to the conclusion. Listeners, we thank you for sharing with us your answers. CatDaddy09, go ahead and send that check our way. We appreciate it. For the record, CatDaddy09 does not exist, listeners.
Oh, how we wish he did, though.
We appreciate your support of the show. Guys, you got anything else before we head out of here?
Mm-mm.
Happy Thursday, and as you leave, be sure to...
beware the hitchhiking ghosts.
And hurry back.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back, we would like your company.
What was that guy's name on Gilligan's Island?
Thurston Howe the Third. I'm sure he was a DVC renter before the bag accident, the 3-hour tour.
Yes, I'm sure he was.